on today's Telling the Truth.
As the author of the Hebrews was sharing deep, beautiful theological truths with his readers, he was talking about how Jesus is better than angels, and Jesus is better than Moses, and Jesus is better than the law, and Jesus provides this Sabbath rest, and Jesus is the great, the mega high priest. And as he's teaching all these great truths, one day he realized, what am I doing? And I can just picture him sitting at his desk, kind of putting his quill down and kind of running his fingers through his hair and just thinking, I want to dive into the fact that Jesus is this great high priest in the order of Melchizedek, but who am I fooling? These people won't be able to follow me because they're immature and they're vulnerable and they're easily led astray. Say, Pete, how do you know he's thinking that? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this. What's this? What he just said in verse 10 about the fact that Jesus was the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have a lot to say about the high priesthood of Jesus, but it's hard to explain. Why is it hard to explain? Not because the subject matter is impossible or the teacher is incapable. It's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Literally, you are dull of hearing. In the grammar, it means you have become dull of hearing. At one point, you were learning, you were growing, but something happened. You pushed the pause button. You're not growing anymore. Your growth in Christ is stunted. There's arrested development, if you will.
It's one thing to believe in Jesus, but it's another thing to really have a growing relationship with God. That's Pete Briscoe's focus this time on Telling the Truth, and he begins in just a moment. The holidays will look different this year, and a lot of us are feeling discouraged and in need of hope. Stuart and Jill want to encourage you by sending you their Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, along with a companion audio or USB read by Jill herself. These resources are our thanks for your support to help more people in our weary world experience life in Jesus Christ. So call today to give and request your copies. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's hear from Pete and his message, Baby Bottle Faith.
Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your life and your grace and the breath of the Spirit that is fresh. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for talking to us, communicating to us, sharing your heart. Thank you for challenging us when it's time to challenge us. And as we open your word today, Lord, I pray we would have ears to hear. And I pray quite honestly that you would simply speak through me. I'm available to you. And touch us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, could you please open it to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 11. I want to sing a song with you. And when I say with, I mean with. I want you to join with me. It's a song you all know. You might not have sung it for quite some time, but I'll start it and then please jump in. Don't leave me hanging here. Don't just leave me singing by myself. It's not a complicated song. I think it'll come back quite quickly for you. It goes something like this. Actually, it goes exactly like this. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Now we know our ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me? Some of you haven't sung that song for 25 years, and it's amazing how it just came right back, isn't it? The ABC song taught us our ABCs. The Do, Re, Mi song taught us the notes of the scale. We don't go back to them very often, but we're glad we have them there as a foundation, are we not? I have in my hand a Gerber's baby food. Carrots. Remember these? When was the last time you tasted carrots? Smells like carrots. Doesn't really look like carrots. What are we doing to these children? It's actually not all that bad. You used to eat stuff like this when you were little. Chances are, last time you ate one was even before you last sang the ABC song. It's been a long, long time. See, it was a good foundation, but you don't tend to go back to it. In fact, how strange would it be if you went out for lunch after church today and you were at a nice restaurant somewhere and you were ordering your food and a gentleman sat down next to you at a table and pulled out one of these and you would think something's not right. Adults don't eat baby food. Now, when you think about the ABC song and the Do Re Mi song and baby food, what kind of age range of kids are we talking about? We're talking about infants with the baby food, preschool with the ABC song, maybe kindergarten with the Do Re Mi song, right? And so when you think about small children like that, kind of kindergarten and younger, they have a simple characteristic. It's a very important one for parents to understand, for grandparents to understand. That is that they're vulnerable. They're immature, and as a result, they're vulnerable. And that's why, as parents, we protect them, right? Immature people are vulnerable. Now, that's not a slap in the face. It's just a simple statement of humankind. If you're immature, you're vulnerable. This is why it would be preposterous for us, after our little girl, maybe, graduates from kindergarten, for us to make the decision to send her to the University of Texas at Austin. Instead of going to first grade, honey, we're going to send you to college. We're going to send you to school. We feel you're equipped. I mean, you're not eating baby food anymore. You've graduated to solid food. You know your ABCs. You know your Do Re Mi's. Let's go to college. How crazy would that be? Can you imagine a little five-year-old girl trying to navigate the enrollment process at a huge university? Can you imagine her going to her first chemistry class and she's got her backpack on and she's way down with the big chemistry books, sitting there and listening to those conversations? She might be able to handle that. Probably not, but she might. But when rush week came around, woo! Can you imagine her trying to figure out which sorority she was going to join? And she goes to the big party on the weekend and everyone's drinking, and this little five-year-old girl's trying to figure out, what do I do? What do I do? She's immature. She's vulnerable. And when we are vulnerable, we are easily led astray. This was the primary concern of the author of the book of Hebrews. He was looking at these little churches, these little home churches that were sprouting up all over Jerusalem, comprised almost entirely of people who used to be Jewish, but had either met Christ or were about to meet Christ. And he's looking at them and he's learning about them and he's conversing with them and he's coming to this harrowing conclusion. Oh no, they're so immature. And as a result, they're vulnerable. And because they're vulnerable, they're easily led astray. And that started to happen. Some of their Jewish friends would say, what are you doing messing around with this Christian group? Come back to the established mother religion. Come back to Judaism. And they were pulling them and coercing them. Some would even say they were being persecuted. They were being persecuted so that they would go back to Judaism. And the author was seeing some people heading back that direction or fearing that they would. And he thought, this is bad. They're immature. So they're vulnerable. And they're easily led astray. Now, none of us are going to send our five-year-olds to college, are we? But some of us have sent 18-year-olds to college recently. Let me ask you a question. What age spiritually were they when you launched them to the university? Because you see, it's not very different sending a spiritual five-year-old to college than it is sending a literal five-year-old to college. Sometimes we send five-year-olds spiritually to college in 18-year-old bodies. Is it any wonder they're led astray? Some of us are thinking back on when we became believers, and for some of you, it was in the university context when you went off to college. And maybe you were led to Christ by someone in the dorm, and then maybe it was through Campus Crusade or through the Navigators or one of the campus ministries. You were discipled early on, and you dove into God's word, and you really started to grow. And then you graduated, and you kind of lost touch with your friends from school and the ministries that you were involved in, and you started getting into your business career or whatever you went into, and you got married and the kids started to come, and then new sports. And you know what? Somewhere along the line, back there, right, when you started your real life, you kind of pushed the pause button on your spiritual growth. So you got 3 or 4 good years of growth there in the college years, not much since, which means you're basically about a 4-year-old spiritually. The problem is you're navigating this whole business community and the whole thing of marriage and parenting as a 4-year-old. It's scary because if we're immature, we're vulnerable. And if we're vulnerable, we're easily led astray. Some of you are empty nesters, or maybe even launching into retirement, which is very exciting because you got more time on your hand. Your resources are more plentiful. You've got so many options. But if you stop growing years ago in Christ, then you're heading into retirement as a 5-year-old, which is a little scary. Because if we're immature, we're vulnerable. And if we're vulnerable, we're easily led astray. And when we just have more time on our hands and more resources, it's really easy to lead us astray.
Pete Briscoe today shares the importance of having a maturing faith and not just staying where you are in your relationship with Christ. He's right back with more. What do you think Christmas will be like this year? After all we've been through these past months, many people are discouraged as we approach the holiday season. But that's why this Christmas is so important, because we need that thrill of hope Jesus alone provides. We want to help you rejoice in hope this holiday season by sending you Stuart and Jill's Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, as well as the companion audio on USB read by Jill herself. It's the perfect resource to encourage weary souls in these challenging times, and it's our way to thank you for your gift today to help keep telling the truth on the air. So please call today to give and get your copy of Meet Him at the Manger along with Jill's companion audio. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection, but we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Telling the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store, or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app or via text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Let's hear more now from Pete Briscoe.
As the author of the Hebrews was sharing deep, beautiful theological truths with his readers, he was talking about how Jesus is better than angels, and Jesus is better than Moses, and Jesus is better than the law, and Jesus provides this Sabbath rest, and Jesus is the great, the mega high priest. And as he's teaching all these great truths, one day he realized, what am I doing? And I can just picture him sitting at his desk, kind of putting his quill down and kind of running his fingers through his hair and just thinking, I want to dive into the fact that Jesus is this great high priest in the order of Melchizedek, but who am I fooling? These people won't be able to follow me because they're immature and they're vulnerable and they're easily led astray. Say, Pete, how do you know he's thinking that? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this. What's this? What he just said in verse 10 about the fact that Jesus was the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have a lot to say about the high priesthood of Jesus, but it's hard to explain. Why is it hard to explain? Not because the subject matter is impossible or the teacher is incapable. It's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Literally, you are dull of hearing. In the grammar, it means you have become dull of hearing. At one point, you were learning, you were growing, but something happened. You pushed the pause button. You're not growing anymore. Your growth in Christ is stunted. There's arrested development, if you will. In fact, verse 12, Though by this time, you ought to be teachers. He's not saying here that you should be the preacher or the teacher in a class or something. But what he's saying is, at this point, you've been around the church long enough. At this point, you've known Christ long enough. You probably should be helping other people understand Jesus. Should be able to instruct them in the fundamentals of the faith, minimally. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Elementary truths is stoicheia. It means the first principles, the beginning principles, the ABCs of Christianity. At this point, he's saying you should be teaching other people, but apparently you need to be taught the ABCs yourself all over again. You see him just running his fingers through his hair. Oh, I've got so much I want to tell you about Melchizedek, but I say the name and you glaze over. I start talking about the high priesthood of Jesus and our attendance drops. Why? Well, because we're immature and we're vulnerable. We're easily led astray. How do we know if we're drinking milk? Because that's what he talks about here. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you the elementary truths of God's word. And again, you want milk, not solid food. You're like an adult eating out of a baby jar. You're drinking milk. There's nothing wrong with milk. Milk is healthy, but it's not what adults eat to nourish themselves. How do we know if we're milk drinkers? Look at verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, okay, he's about to answer my question. It's nice of him, isn't it? Anyone who lives on milk, anyone who's a milk drinker, being still an infant, is a baby spiritually, this person is not acquainted, listen, with the teaching about righteousness. How can you tell if you're surviving on milk? You don't understand the New Testament teaching about righteousness. That's how you tell. What does that mean? Jesus, one day in Luke chapter 18, started to teach on this new idea of righteousness that he was introducing to the world. It says in verse 9 of Luke 18, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Do you know any of these people? They're confident in their own righteousness, and as a result, they're looking down on everyone else. It's talking about the Pharisees. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like these other men, these robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Pete Briscoe closing out the first part of his message, Baby Bottle Faith. He picks up right here on tomorrow's broadcast, and in just a moment, he's back with one final thought about spiritual maturity. Scripture tells us to come to me, all you who are weary and hardened, and I will give you rest. It's an invitation to trust God in every circumstance, as Jesus himself is the source of hope for our weary world. We pray you've been encouraged by that hope through telling the truth. And today, we're asking for your support to help encourage even more people. Your generosity today will help make it possible to reach our weary world with the transformational truth of God's word. And when that happens, people experience life in Jesus. That's why we believe telling the truth exists, for such a time as this, and why your gift today is so vital. So to say thanks for your generosity, we'll send you Stuart and Jill's Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, along with the companion audio on USB. It's the perfect resource to help you rejoice in hope this Christmas, no matter what circumstances you face. So please call today to give and get your copy of Meet Him at the Manger, along with Jill's companion audio. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, before we end the day, here's Pete Briscoe once again.
You see, Jesus introduced himself into this cultural milieu where people were trying to create their own righteousness, and they were doing it with a list of rules. And those who kept the rules really well, they considered themselves righteous. And he tells this story that this quote unquote unrighteous man who humbly came before God and said, "Help me," is actually the one who is justified, not this one who's doing really well with the list. And he starts to turn the whole concept of righteousness on its ear. Paul picked up on it on a number of occasions in his writings, powerfully in Romans chapter 3, at the end of this long list of why we are just lost in our sin. He said, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight, in God's sight, by observing the law." He just comes right out and says it. If you think you're earning righteousness points by doing the right things, no one will be considered righteous in his eyes that way. No one. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. The law isn't designed to make you righteous. The law is designed to show you how unrighteous you actually are, so you'll run to Christ. But now, listen, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This is the teaching of righteousness that the author of Hebrews is referring to. But you can't earn it, but you can receive it. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us." This is Jesus. "So that in him," in Christ, "we might become the righteousness of God." In Philippians 3, he says it a different way. "I consider them rubbish." Them, he was referring to all his worldly accomplishments, all his religious accomplishments. "I consider them all rubbish that I might gain Christ." Christ is better than all of it. "Be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith." This is the teaching of righteousness that he's referring to here. When he does circle back and start teaching about Melchizedek again in chapter 7, he goes on for 4 chapters. So apparently by the end of chapter 6, he thinks we're ready to dive in. And at the very beginning, he introduces Melchizedek to us. And he tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2, that Melchizedek means king of righteousness. How do you know you've been drinking milk? If you still think you can earn God's favor by what you do, you've been drinking milk. If you still think righteousness is something you create, you've been milk drinking. If you are busting your rear end trying to impress God, you've been taking milk baths for far too long. But if you recognize the beautiful truth that Christ comes not only to impute, but to impart his righteousness into you as a gift, then you've been eating some meat. You've been eating solid food. He says in verse 14, "Solid food is for the mature, who by constant use," better translation, "who are characterized by training themselves to distinguish good from evil." Good from evil there doesn't mean in an ethical sense, like good conduct versus bad conduct. It's in a theological sense. So good doctrine versus false doctrine. The reason you can discern, the reason you're no longer vulnerable, the reason you're not led astray is because, well, you're eating solid food. You're feasting on solid food. If you're drinking milk, you're vulnerable. Much easier to lead you astray. Isn't it amazing that someone can know Christ for 25 years, but barely know him at all? Isn't it fascinating when you meet someone who's just known Christ for a year or two, and you're just stunned with the depth of their maturity? Like, how did that happen? Well, in this text, the author is going to give us a very simple but very profound solution for this spiritually immature, so I'm really vulnerable problem that we have. And starts in chapter 6, verse 1. It's a really unfortunate chapter heading, by the way. Remember, the chapter headings and the verses weren't in the original letters. So just pretend chapter 6 doesn't start here. It's continuing the same thought. I know this because he starts with the word "therefore." Okay, since milk drinkers are vulnerable and meat eaters, are much less vulnerable. They're able to discern good theology from bad theology. Therefore, since all that's true, I'm going to explain to you how you can start growing up. Therefore, let us, please note the pronoun. He doesn't say, therefore, grow up. He's not pointing his finger. What he's saying is, therefore, we all need to grow.
That's Pete Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. Before we go, remember to call and give today to receive Stuart and Jill's encouraging Advent devotional book, Meet Him at the Manger, as well as the companion audio on USB read by Jill herself. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellmethetruth.org. Tomorrow, more from Hebrews and Pete's message, Baby Bottle Faith. We hope you'll be listening then.